Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They started a secret group on Facebook to try and raise funds to get me a new phone, is what they said they started it as, just $400 or $500 to get me a new phone. And that grew into over $6,000 in about 6 days. And it was donations from a couple hundred people and people from around the world. And these people all left comments on how I inspire them and how my work inspires them and my positive attitude. I probably shouldn't have experienced it a couple weeks after recovering from a major concussion and blood in my brain.
Imagine if people you've never met from all over the world wanted to help you out of a sticky patch because your work and outlook on life inspires them. It happened to today's guest, Jacob Loafman. That's the power of social media, the power of community, and the power of photography. I'm Matt Bowen. This is Phototypes.
It's Matt freaking Bowen.
Oh my gosh!
Jacob Loafman from the USA describes himself as a master tinkerer when it comes to photography. In this episode, hear him talk about his inspirations, influences, and plans for the future. And he also relives the night he was attacked and knocked unconscious, which triggered a massive outpouring of support. Jacob, welcome. How are you?
It's going pretty well. How are you, sir?
I am very well. Tell us where you are and have a look around you and what you can see around you.
I am in St. Louis, Missouri in the USA. I'm in my home studio right now, home base studio. It's an actual workspace I share with two other wedding photographers here. And we got this back in June, and it's been nice having a workspace that's away from my house, because knowing that my couch was upstairs and stuff was keeping me from working a little bit.
Too much temptation.
Yes, a little bit. So this place has worked out nice, and obviously for studio shoots and stuff too.
Do you find it good to have colleagues as well?
I do, yeah. It's nice to have, there's always at least two of us here, it seems like, so it's nice to have someone to pull over and get their thoughts on, you know, either a photo idea or even the editing of a photo or the moment, or should I include this in the client's gallery and things like that. It's nice to have someone at your beck and call right there.
Give them a name check. Say hello to them.
Yes. So it would be Katie Forbes, and she's actually in the studio right now. She's hiding under her desk listening, trying to be as quiet as she can. And Jamie Nicole Krause, she's the third studio member here. And we call it the Susu Studio, like the Mr. Phil Collins. I think he'd appreciate that.
Of course. Any any drumming going on in there?
Not yet. We're looking into a drum set. It'll be here soon.
Excellent. Bit more distraction for you.
That's right.
Okay. Describe yourself as a photographer.
Oh, man. That's a loaded question. I don't really think about it too much. I think everybody tries their best to stand apart from the pack to make sure their name stands out in some way, whether it be with their personality, their work, their style, something of that nature. I am a master of tinkering, so I'm always playing with things, whether it be plates from the cupboard or wine glasses or lights from Amazon or fiber optics, or I'm always trying to include certain things in my work that makes me stand out a little bit from others in a good way. My style is very cinematic, I would say. I like films are a big influence for me. I look at when I shoot a wedding, I look at myself as kind of the film director of the day, and without giving the actors guidance. So it's kind of cool. I feel like it's very unique to be part of a day of two people that found each other, and out of, you know, billions of people in the world, and here I am lucky enough to capture their special moment, because it is a big deal. And so yeah, I just try, when I shoot a wedding, it's a mix of storytelling mixed with some cinematic portraits that includes, you know, like I said, when I mess with fiber optics and LEDs and stuff like that, I just go on Amazon, and sometimes it's light up toys for children and stuff like that. But I try to incorporate a lot of unique tools into my work, whether it be putting it in front of the lens or doing quadruple or triple exposures or something of that nature. I just always try to keep my work interesting. Every photo needs to be interesting. So yeah, aesthetically is my big inspiration. When I create a photo, I don't want it to just be a photo of a moment. I want it to be a photo of a moment and also a work of art. So when they hang it on their wall, it's more of an all-inclusive type of piece. Rather than just grandma smiling, I'd like to incorporate grandma smiling with some other unique things going on in the photograph.
How difficult or easy do you find those things to do within the fast-moving environments of a wedding?
Depends on the clients, actually. I mean, I've had some weddings where the clients are very open to, hey, this is your day too. We are putting you in charge of everything. You do your thing. You tell us what you want to do. The difficulty is I always start tinkering with things with self-portraits. And then so it's trying to incorporate that into shooting a wedding is definitely the difficult part. You know, how do I carry an LED fiber optic lamp into a wedding reception? Like, that's really weird to be holding, you know, a foot and a half tall fiber optic lamp on the dance floor and shaking it in front of the lens or something like that. You know, it depends on the day, really. I mean, I definitely shoot some weddings that are just more of a traditional kind of day. And those just turn out to be more of the storytelling type of weddings for me. And, that's where I'm not a lot of people promote consistency and things like that. I don't even give that a lot of attention. I shoot every wedding as unique as I can, as far as editing the shooting style and everything. So, I mean, every wedding I shoot is completely different. If you go on my website and check out my wedding photos, there really isn't a lot of consistency. But I like that. I think that helps me stand out from the pack as well. And it's not extreme opposites of, you know, each wedding, but it's just, yeah, there's not a lot of editing consistency or things of that nature. So yeah, it's just every day is different to me. So I just go in, I wing everything. I don't scout. I don't do any of that. I just show up, and that's where I find that my brain works best, is when I do wing stuff.
How does that inconsistency work for clients then, who maybe want to know what they're going to get at the end of it? Or do you get clients who just trust you and say, do what you want to do?
Most of my clients honestly do trust me, because I bring them in for a consultation and I show them two or three full wedding galleries to show them that I do shoot each wedding differently. I don't have a set process for every wedding that I go into. I show up the morning of, and that's when my creative juices start flowing. So I think it helps them. Most of my clients that do book me, they know that they're going to get a unique package from me. They know that it's not going to look like the wedding I shot 2 months ago. So I think for my type of clients, that's comforting to them, and that is special to them, because they know I'm going to create art that is completely unique to them. And it's not stuff that's overdone that I do at every single wedding and things of that nature.
And do you work just in St. Louis and around that area, or all over the States?
I'm trying to build my destination portfolio. Right now it's mostly local. But next week I'm shooting a wedding with film photographer Liam Wharton out of Sweden. We're going to LA. We're shooting what we call the $500 wedding. So that'll be kind of my first like true destination wedding, I guess. So that one will be fun. And then I have one in Colorado next year and a couple other in the works for next year. So it's just, I'm letting things kind of roll with the punches. I'm sure I could be doing a lot more marketing and things of that nature, but I'm just kind of going with the flow of things. My booking process seems to be improving. So I'm just like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I'm definitely, the plan for 2016 is to work on building my destination portfolio and hopefully get some weddings around the world over the next couple of years. But I also realize that I'm kind of an infant in the industry, as it's only I've been shooting weddings for 2.5 years now. So I realize that stuff can't just, you know, happen in 6 months and boom, I'm a destination wedding photographer. It's, you know, it'll take time, and that's okay.
That seems like an apt point then to ask you when you first picked up a camera.
Oh man, I first picked up a camera in high school when I was a freshman. So that would have been 16 years ago. And it was, when I was a freshman in high school, it was still all film and all darkroom, which I really enjoyed. I ended up taking the class because my brother was a senior and he said, hey, this teacher is really cool. You may like photography, I don't know. And I said, okay, I'll take the class. And I ended up really, really enjoying the whole process of shooting a photo. And then the whole darkroom process was very interesting to me as well. There's nothing greater than swishing around that photo paper in the tray and seeing your photo come to life on the paper. It was, it's a very unique thing. And it was really incredible to see. So that was your typical, you know, we'd have super simple assignments where you go around and interview someone and shoot them on your camera. And then you'd have a little project of, you know, like nature, landscapes, portraits, things of that nature. I really enjoyed it. And I took a class, and I only went to college for a semester. It really wasn't for me, but I took a photography class there, and it was all darkroom as well. And I really enjoyed that. And then life just kind of happened. My parents got a divorce, so my brother and I moved in together and just started working full time and paying bills and stuff like that. So I fell out of the game for, boy, I guess close to 10 years or so. And then, yeah, back in 2012, I guess it was, early 2012, I started seeing some really interesting stuff on Reddit.com from self-portrait artist Kyle Thompson, and he was doing some surreal self-portraiture and ethereal type stuff, and it sparked my interest again. In my stomach, I could feel it. I was like, okay, I'm gonna pick up a camera again, because this is really interesting stuff. And it's like when you see something in a store that you really want, you're like, holy cow, I've got to have that. It was that similar type of feeling. So I went on eBay and spent, you know, $400 on, you know, a camera body and a couple of lenses and memory cards, tripod, things of that nature, and practiced on self-portraits for 6 months, and then started sharing them on Facebook, and they were, of course, horrible, you know, now when I look back at them, but that's part of the process, right? It's all about growth, and so I still save all those photos because it's really fun to revisit them sometimes. Then I had the typical family and friends asking if I could take family photos for them, things of that nature, so I did that for 6 months. And then somebody told me I should start charging. So I did the, you know, I think it was $40 or $60 for a CD of images and whatever. So I did that for, I guess, a year and a half before I started my business, because I started researching and reading that I didn't want to be one of those photographers that spends $2,000 or $3,000 on equipment and opens a business the next day without, you know, much skill or much practice or something like that. So I took about a year and a half total between all that time of honing my skills and making sure I could offer something of quality before I opened an actual business. And yeah, the growth is still happening. I don't think it's something that ever stops. And yeah, it's just crazy how much I have grown in about 2 years.
How have you fueled that growth? Have you taken classes, workshops, or self-taught, or just practice?
Mainly self-taught. I've taken one workshop. It was Sam Hurd's workshop last year up in Chicago, Illinois. And it was the best workshop for me because I had been following Sam for a few years. And he's obviously a master of tinkering, too. He likes to stand apart and try different things, wild things. So his workshop really taught me that it's okay to be to be an outside of the box type of photographer. Trends are trends because they're popular, they're pretty, they're very interesting looking. That's how trends become trends, because they're very cool. And you know, I of course have some trendy poses and things of that nature. Everybody does. There's repeats. There's very few things that are original in the industry anymore, I think. And that's okay, because that's just the way it is. You know, there's only certain ways you can pose a couple together or pose a person. You know, it's not like there's infinite ways of doing it. But Sam's workshop just kept my drive to stay fresh. And I still have that drive. It's okay, what can I mess with next? It's challenging myself. That's the main thing I took away from his workshop, is always challenge yourself. And that's helped me grow. That mixed with right around that workshop time, I started to just make everything public on social media. And it's not like a fake type of thing either, where I'm just doing this for social media stuff. I share my personal life. I'm a pretty open book kind of guy. So it wasn't really like a thing to grow business or anything like that at all. It was just to network and meet like-minded people, other photographers, and because it leads to interesting discussions. You know, like I love my friends here at home, but I can't sit around and talk, you know, about gear with them. They don't even know what the hell I'm talking about most of the time. So, to be part of a network of other photographers has also helped me grow. Because I started following their work and they comment on my work, and you go back and forth, you know.
And you're part of the Looks Like Film group now, are you?
I am, yes. Sir Lucas asked me to join, I guess it was 6 or 7 months ago, maybe even longer than that. I don't even remember. But I started posting in the Looks Like Film group and the VSCO group, because another photographer told me about it, so I started sharing my work in there and just started interacting with the community, because I love interacting on social media anyway. Like, I think it's fun to have discussions and to learn about people, especially from all around the world, like the VSCO group and Looks Like Film group has. Lucas and I just struck up a friendship from there, and now we're pretty good buds. I'm excited to meet him in April, and I'm going to spend some time with him and go see Europe for a bit while I'm over there. And yeah, it looks like film is, you know, we just turned a year old yesterday, and it has grown substantially in 1 year's time. And it's because it truly is about community. We're all about lifting each other up. We're not about, you know, heavy critique that really has no point type of critique. You know, we're not shitting on other photographers because they're in their first 6 months of being a photographer. You know, we're there to help them. That's the way it should be. It should be about community. If someone needs help, you should be able to help them and not be a turtle that puts its head back in its shell because you don't want to share, you know, what your secrets are. You know, it's like, no, we're all very open type of people. I'll share anything. It's not going to affect my business at all if I share whatever I do. It's fine.
And that community was pretty special to you just recently, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was, I couldn't even put into words how special that was. I was recently part of what they call the knockout game. I was standing at an intersection in a part of town here, editing a photo on my phone, of course, and I remember a figure walking up behind my right shoulder, and that's when my memory stopped. And my memory came to when I was mid-walk to my car. So they call it's like a gang initiation type thing where they knock you out and take your phone if you don't have any cash in your wallet. And I was knocked out from behind and spent a few days in the hospital. And luckily, I had just gotten health insurance 10 days prior, because I'm in my fourth month of being a full-time photographer. So I knew health insurance was important, so I purchased it. And I chose a very high deductible plan because I hadn't been in the hospital since I was like 4 years old, and I'm 31 now. So I was like, well, I'm fairly healthy. I'll choose a high deductible, low copay plan. And then, of course, 10 days after I choose that and get my health insurance, this happens. And so two of my photographer friends from Arkansas, the Montoyas, they started a secret group on Facebook to try and raise funds to get me a new phone, is what they said they started it as, just $400 or $500 to get me a new phone. And that grew into over $6,000 in about 6 days. And it was donations from a couple hundred people and people from around the world, UK, Dubai, India. And these people all left comments on how I inspire them and how my work inspires them and my positive attitude about life and stuff. And it was just, I probably shouldn't have experienced it a couple weeks after recovering from a major concussion and blood in my brain. But yeah, it was pretty tough to hold back the tears, because it was very special to read. I'm your very stereotypical, I'm just a guy alive in the world. So I don't, you know, I don't take compliments in a good way. I'm just kind of like, oh, thanks a lot. And so reading comments from people, how I've actually touched their lives. Yeah, it really took me back, really hit me in the gut. It was pretty special. And just makes me realize that I just need to keep this positive attitude, because it does help people. And that's very special to me. That's the most important thing to me in my life, is remaining positive and helping people when I can. It was an incredible experience, and I'm forever grateful to all of those people that donated and left comments and just vouched for their support. It was pretty amazing.
You say that's made you determined to carry on with the sort of direction that you're on. Did it change anything else about you?
The only thing it did change about me is now I'm definitely more aware of my surroundings. A little bit of paranoia, I guess, which kind of makes me upset, because I've always been kind of a loner, and not like in a depressive way. Like, I just like doing things on my own. So I used to love going and exploring on my own, and even going to see a film by myself late on a Sunday night or something, see the midnight show. And, as of today, I can't do any of those things right now, because it's just, I can't go out into the world at night on my own right now. And so that part of me has changed. And I don't like that I look at people now that are walking behind me, you know, because it's not a direct opinion I have on them. It's just something that I experienced, that now I have to constantly look over my shoulders and behind my back to see what's going on. But other than that, no, I just kept my positivity through the whole thing. The hospital staff just kept telling me, you know, while blood on the brain is obviously a big deal, Your vitals are good. The tests we're giving you, you're all coming out great. So you should be fine in a month or so. And so I just said, well, what can I do? There's no sense of being angry about it. It's not like I can go find out who did it. And I'm not a violent guy. I'm not a vengeful type of guy. So, you know, plus I don't want the gangs to know where I live and work or even what my name is. So. As long as I can get back to being me, then life's going to be okay, you know?
Did you worry that your photography career might be over?
Honestly, not really. And I will say only because the staff kept telling me I was going to be okay. And I think I was lucky in the fact that I've never gone through anything like this before. So I was 100% reliant on what they were telling me. And I trusted them, obviously, because they're doctors and neurosurgeons and things of that nature. So if they told me I was going to be okay in a few weeks, then I knew I would be okay. And my studio mates Jamie and Katie found someone to shoot a wedding for me, because I did miss one. And they found somebody in just a few hours to shoot a wedding for me, and that was great. And no, I just kind of looked at it as, well, I guess I'm going to lay in the hospital bed here for a few days and then go home and lay around for a few days, and then hopefully in a couple weeks I'll be back to normal. And now I'm feeling about 80%, 85%, so it's going well. But no, I can't say that I ever had a thought creep in of, you know, am I going to miss out on my photography career? Am I going to have to go back to finding a day job or things of that nature? Those thoughts never really entered my head.
Good. When you were learning your craft again as a photographer, and you were building your business, what were you doing as a day job?
I was actually, I was working in the lighting industry. I was working for an electrical distributor, and then I moved over to a manufacturer's representative. So we would sell to electrical distributors. I was doing local project quotations. So we would try to get our products specified on a construction project, whether it be a school, a hospital, an arena, an office building, whatever it is. And then when the job would come out to bid, I would put the quote together for our lighting fixtures. I was in the electrical industry for 10 years, and learning about light itself, I think, has helped me a little bit with my photography, because I went to a lot of trainings at our manufacturer's factories, and I think it worked out well because it was right on the LED curve of the industry. So it was when LED was starting to come out for outdoor lighting and things of that nature. So I learned a lot about the science of light in itself, the brass tacks of the science of light. And it's very interesting, especially with LEDs. It's a very interesting time. There's a lot of science just always blows my mind, and the science of light is very, very incredible thing.
But 5-6 years ago when you were doing that, did you think that was going to be your job for life, or something in that industry would be your job for life?
I didn't really know, to be honest, because I've never been the type that I've never really thought about what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I just kind of looked at every job as that, as just a job. And I was carrying forth with it because it was, I had family in the industry, and I started, I got fairly good at what I was doing. I had a lot of knowledge and about lighting fixtures and electronic ballasts and things of that nature, and HID lamps and what have you. But I just kind of looked at it as a job to fund the rest of my life, the things I truly enjoyed doing. So I've never really looked at any job as like a career until now. Now I totally get it. When I made the jump a few months ago, being your own boss is definitely a special thing, and the chase for business is a lot of fun. It's something I really enjoy. And it's nice to have the freedom now to come up with new plans of how I can make more money. It's just a lot of fun, where before I would have to do that at, 2 to 3 in the morning and then wake up for work at 7 a.m. the next day. So it's, to have the freedom now is very, very cool. And money is definitely not everything to me. As long as I can get by, that's totally fine with me.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What is it now about your job then that inspires you?
The freedom is what inspires me to work harder, because I know if I come in, 4 days a week and I work for 6 hours straight, I have the rest of that time to do what I want. And it's something that I've never had, because even when I was in high school and after high school, I always had 3 or 4 part-time jobs. So I was constantly working. The only freedom I had was, a few hours on the weekends with my friends and things like that. So now it's pretty insane to work from 9:30, 10 in the morning to 2:30, and I knock out my whole to-do list for that day, and knowing I can go home, and it's like, I'm still kind of in that shock phase of like, is it okay to be watching a movie right now? I don't know. Shouldn't I be doing something else? And it's like, no, you caught up for the day. Like you're good. And so that, in a backwards way, that kind of inspires me to keep working hard, because I can make, the harder I work, the more time I can allot to go do other things I enjoy, like golfing and fishing and things like that.
All right. Who's been the biggest influence on your photography work?
Man, it's been such a it's ever changing for me, to be honest. I would say it definitely started with Sam Hurd, just because his work was so interesting. It was like nothing that I kept seeing out there. And then now it's kind of Brittany Esther Stadden from Canada. Her work is very timeless and classic and beautiful. She's got a very unique eye and knows how to use light very, very well. And also Liam Wharton from Sweden. He's a film photographer and he's very, very creative, very fine art type of work. I don't have one that's my biggest inspiration. And I think being part of Looks Like Film kind of caters to that, because I'm so used to seeing work from multiple artists daily, and incredible artists that, you know, some aren't even wedding photographers, some are street photographers and just fashion photographers. And you see their work in those groups, and it's, some of it is mind-blowing stuff. And it's so I think that's my biggest inspiration, is a community of photographers, and it all balls up into one, kind of like a star almost. So they all kind of lump in together. I couldn't really pick one name, to be honest with you.
Are you happy shooting weddings at the moment, or are there other elements of photography that you want to shoot?
I'm definitely happy with shooting weddings. I enjoy shooting weddings. Like I said earlier, since film is a big influence to me, it's kind of fun being a film director type for the day. And it's challenging. Every wedding is a challenge. So it's still challenging myself. And until it's not challenging myself, then I think I'll always enjoy it. The other stuff I'm getting into right now is a lot of darker personal work. And it's not even like dark, sad dark. It's more like a mysterious dark type of stuff. Lots of movement in dresses, lots of spotty light, lots of highlights of light where it's just a white dress moving and the shadows completely drop off. And that's the stuff that keeps me going as a whole, is I consistently try to make time for personal work. You know, some nights I'll stay here working at the studio until 10 p.m. because I want to do a personal shoot the next day. So I have to make sacrifice somewhere, but personal work is very important to me. That's when I do my self-portrait stuff. That's when I do my dark, mysterious stuff. That's where I really challenge myself. And then that goes into my client work.
I want to talk about your self-portraits. How does it feel turning the camera on yourself?
At first it felt awkward, but at the same time, my group of friends weren't really the types where I could call and ask if they would model. They'd be like, what the hell do you mean? So I was kind of comfortable with it. And I look at self-portraits not even really in a vain way. I just look at myself as the subject. So it's not really, I don't really share my self-portraits or do self-portraits because I like the way I look in front of the camera. It's because I like photography so much, and I enjoy photographing people. And if no one else is around, well, guess what? I'm always around, so I can at least try things, you know. And it's challenging on the gear side as well, setting up the shot. And it's all a practice to work it into my client work as well. Because if I come up with a process for how to set up this LED fiber optic shot, and I keep practicing it on myself, then bam, in a month's time, I can throw all that stuff in a duffel bag and that process is ready to go. That's a new tool in my tool bag. It's always been interesting to me, and I've learned a lot about myself through doing self-portraits. It's just a lot of fun. That's the honest truth. It's just a lot of fun to me. It's not about creating photos of me. It's creating works of art, and I happen to be the subject.
I was going to ask you if you have learned things about yourself, and not just if you've got one ear bigger than the other.
Yeah, I've definitely learned self-portraits have helped me to be more open with people, because I think putting yourself out there like that, it did help me open up to people. It did help me be more honest with myself. It helped me be more honest in life in general. And I think that's because I think being vulnerable is a beautiful thing at times. And when I first started putting photos of myself out there into the world, sharing with, you know, at that time, hundreds of friends on Facebook and, you know, girls I had crushes on could see them and things of that nature, it kind of helped me to realize that, you know what, it's not a big deal. Put it out there. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And so that's kind of turned into a life lesson for me, where if it's something that's out of my control, I'm not going to worry about it. It's not worth worrying about. And I'm honest with myself and all my self-portrait work, and that's kind of spilled into my normal life. So I think it has helped me.
Did you ever think about it as a sort of record of your own growth as well? Because you must have them going back over a few years now, and if you continue to do them, that's something that you can keep as an archive.
Yes, I definitely do. I try to revisit my old work once every few months, just because I think it's an important part of the growth process to see where you came from. And that's what's helped me to help people that are in their first few months of photography to realize that we all have to remember where we came from. You know, I didn't buy gear and start charging $3,000 for a wedding 2 months after I shot my first wedding. Like, that's not how it goes. But yeah, it's definitely exciting to look back at my old self-portraits. And I still have some that I really enjoy from back when I first started out. And I definitely have some that make me want to vomit all over my desk. But again, that's part of the growth process. And I think it's important to look back on where we came from and where we're at now. And it helps me continue that growth, to realize that it is a never-ending process, and it's ever-changing as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't just mean in terms of your photography growth. I mean your physical and personal growth, and it's kind of documenting your life.
Yeah, I've never really thought of myself as an artist, but going back through the past few years of photos, I can definitely view myself as an artist now, I think. So personally, it's helped me grow in that way, if that makes any sense. I used to always be the type to say, I'm not an artist, I'm just a guy with a camera and some camera gear. Like, but now I look back and where I'm at now and going through those photos, it's personally helped me make character changes to where I'm more open-minded with things. Personal growth-wise, I would say it's helped me realize that you don't always know what somebody's going through. Because I think some of the self-portraits I created, people thought I was going through something where, honestly, I was just creating it because I thought it looked cool, but they thought I was, like, super sad or something, you know? But, so it really opened discussions with people, and that helped me grow as a person. So not so much the actual work itself, but what the aftermath of what the work happened helped me grow as a person. So like the flow of that piece, when I post a photo and somebody would comment on it and then we would start discussions, those discussions have helped me grow as a person for sure.
If you have children in the future, then you've got a nice little record of your personal self.
Right. Yes. If I ever get into the idea of having children, that is very true.
All right, I was going to ask you what excites you. I'm guessing having children isn't going to feature high on that list.
Not quite yet. Other people's kids are cool, but yeah, I don't think I'm at a stage where I'm ready for any of that.
All right, what does excite you then?
Trips. Lately, it's been travel. Although I hate leaving my dog back at home, I hate boarding my dog. She's my child. She's my animal child, and but yeah, definitely travel is what gets me very excited. It's the past couple of years, it's the only thing that's gotten me excited to where my body gets chills and stuff, because I do have the opportunity to visit new places I've never been and things like that before. Other things that excite me, more basic human things. I'm big into animal rescue. I put on an exhibition each year that helps raise funds for local animal rescues here in the St. Louis area and surrounding St. Louis, Missouri areas. So the past 2 years we've raised collectively, it all started 2 years ago as during this season right now, kind of the off season of weddings, I wanted something to keep my skills sharp. And so I decided to post on Facebook. I wanted to shoot like 40 or 50 adoptive families that have adopted rescue animals and just do like a blog post a day for a month and a half or something, highlighting the family with like 12 pictures. A not-for-profit got in contact with me and said they wanted to sponsor it. And I said, well, I don't really have much overhead other than, you know, like gas money to drive to these people's homes. And they said, no, let's turn it into a fundraising exhibit and we can donate all the funds, 100% of the funds back to some local animal rescue organizations. And I said, oh, okay. So the first year we raised almost $6,000 in 4 hours and it was unbelievable. I mean, I didn't even know what to think. They were all my photos. I'd never done an exhibition before, but it was all kind of lifestyle candid type of portraiture within the family's homes. And just hanging with the animals, because my whole goal was just to raise awareness that rescue animals are just like any other animals. They, you know, when you teach them how to do things, they just like hanging with their family. And so that's what the whole idea of the exhibit was. And this year we raised almost $6,000 again. And I brought on a staff of photographers this time around, because the first year it was nuts going from, I was very dumb with it. I would schedule one at 10 a.m. and then the next slot would be at 10:45, but it's 48 miles away from where I am. So I don't know what the heck I was thinking when I did it all on my own. But yeah, so this next year it just keeps growing. We're moving into a bigger gallery for the show. And I get excited about that every year, just because it is very cool to mix art with helping, to know that our photos hanging, people love coming through and seeing them and making donations, and to know that that's going back to people that are actually using the funds towards things that are right, is very special to me. And they all show their appreciation. And my favorite part is handing over the checks to the animal rescue organizations, because I know it's special to them. And while it may not be a lot of money, it is a lot of money to a few of them, because they're very small and they're using their time away from their full-time jobs to help rescue animals off the streets and to get them into homes. So it's very cool to be a part of. And the rescue community is very much like the photography community, where they're all there to help each other. And so that's another community I'm proud to be a part of.
Excellent. Good work. What scares you, Jacob?
Heights. Heights. I am scared to death of heights unless I need to get a photo. It's a very weird phenomenon I've learned about myself, where I will do whatever it takes to make the photograph. So like I will climb up high into a tree to get a shot that I want, a vision I have in my head. But as soon as I'm done taking that shot and I'm still in the tree, it's time to call the fire department, because I'm not getting down on my own. But yeah, I mean, I'll hang off of the ledge of a parking garage. I'll hang off the ledge of a building. But as soon as I'm done taking that shot, it's like somebody needs to get me off of here or I'm going to have a heart attack.
All right. What's your favorite swear word?
Oh, definitely fuck. I dropped the F-bomb like a World War II plane. There's no doubt about it.
Just on its own, or with any added extras?
No, just on its own. I mean, all the different variances of the word, you know, fucking, pretty much those two, I guess. Fucked. Yeah. Any variation of fuck is my favorite swear word, for sure. I use it a lot. When I wish my grandma a happy birthday, it's happy fucking birthday, grandma. And she hates it, but that's okay. She's old.
She's probably used more swear words than you'll ever learn, Jacob.
Oh yeah, I know. I know she will. She was a crazy asshole. She used to fly planes for fun back in the day, in the 30s, because her friend's dad owned an airport, and they would fly open air jets just for fun. Like, she was like, you know, you go bowling with your friends, we would fly airplanes. I'm like, you are fucking crazy. And of course, you know me with heights. There's no way I'd do that shit. Uh-uh.
Well, if you could be anything else for a day, what would you be?
You know what? This is going to be a strange answer, but a professional fisherman. I think that would be fishing for largemouth bass in a tournament in Texas or something, that would be pretty cool. I would really enjoy that. I mean, to think that there's professional fishermen out there is wild. It's really cool.
There are professional fishermen, and somebody else who I've spoken to on Phototypes also spoke about professional fishermen. I can't remember who it was now off the top of my head, but I mocked him for it, but now I must stand down. Who living or dead would you like to photograph?
I'd have to go with definitely Franklin Roosevelt, FDR. I think he'd be an interesting one to photograph and just to sit around and chat with. Who else? Oh, Michael Jackson's chimp, the chimp he used to have. I would love to photograph that thing. That would be a lot of fun.
Bubbles, was it?
Bubbles, yes. I would love to photograph Bubbles the chimp.
If only Bubbles could talk as well. Imagine the stories he could tell.
I know. But we could, I think Bubbles the chimp was a smoker, and I smoke cigarettes, unfortunately. But yeah, I'd love to share a cigarette with Bubbles the chimp.
Brilliant. Give us some advice to another photographer. I know that you are very keen on handing out advice through your communities, so give us some advice that we can pass on to people.
Don't worry about what others think of your work. Don't worry about what other photographers are doing, what trends are going on. Get out there and shoot and learn on your own. Create what you really enjoy creating. Don't worry about what your peers are going to think of it. I think that's one of the biggest things I've noticed since I started, is that it seems like a lot of us, and I even had this cloud at one time where I started creating things hoping the photography community would like it, would enjoy it. But then I stepped back about a year ago and was like, why, I love the photography community, but why am I worried about with my work if they accept it or not? The only one that needs to accept it is me. And then if I accept that work, if I'm satisfied with my work, I share it with the world, and hopefully I find clients that enjoy the work in the same fashion that I do. I would say create for yourself first. Get out and create for yourself. Stop researching gear. Stop looking into all that stuff. Grab your camera and lens and go out and create something you enjoy creating. Don't worry about what others will think of it.
Excellent. And then finally, who would you like to hear from on Phototypes? Who should I go and interview?
Hugh Whitaker. He is unbelievable. He's got a very unique eye. And he's a very positive person in the industry. And I think he would be a great guest to have on.
Brilliant. I will try and get him on.
Right.
Jacob, it's been fabulous chatting to you.
You too. I hope I got you some good stuff, and I appreciate the time. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thanks so much to Jacob for taking the time to speak to Phototypes. If you're enjoying Phototypes, say hello on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, all at PhototypesPod. We've got listeners in Croatia, Uzbekistan, and Morocco, amongst others, so please say hello if you're there and join our community. And if you've got an interesting story to tell and think you could be featured on Phototypes, then drop me a note, matt@theretreat.co. You can find me, Matt Bowen, at theretreat.co on Instagram.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.